Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of the Morning Devotional. Today is Tuesday, April 13th, 2021. This is edition number 12 of a special series on the preaching of God's Word. My name is Pastor William Hill. I am the pastor of Providence Church, a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America. We're located in Evansville, Indiana. It's great to have you here with me. We are completing our look at our examination of Larger Catechism 160 this morning. Tomorrow, my intention is to then do a summary of this series of discussions and then return back to season three, which is the Wisdom of Solomon. But this morning, we're going to finish Larger Catechism 160. Let's pray together before we do that. Father, now as we humble ourselves before your inerrant word, we give you great thanks that in your divine wisdom you have given us the preaching of your word to strengthen us as your people, to feed us as your sheep. And so even as we meditate upon these things this morning, we would pray that they'd be helpful and useful for your people. We pray that you'd be with your church and that you might bless her and keep her, that she would indeed seek first your kingdom and righteousness, that she would meditate and confer with the preached word and seek to bring forth fruit of it in their lives. Lord, we pray that you'd help your people and you would be merciful to us even now, we ask, for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, we come to the Larger Catechism 160, which reads, what is required of those that hear the word preached? And the answer is, it is required of those that hear the word preached that they attend upon it with diligence, preparation, and prayer. Examine what they hear by the scriptures. Receive the truth with faith, love, meekness, and readiness of mind as the word of God. Meditate and confer of it. Hide it in their hearts and bring forth the fruit of it in their lives. Yesterday, we considered the issues of meditating upon the preached word and letting that preached word sink down deep into the hearts and minds of the hearer. We also considered this issue of conferring it or discussing, having conversations with one another, with our family, our friends, the loved ones, our members of the church, talking of it so that it might then even bring forth greater fruits in our lives. We come now to another aspect of this listening and hearing the word preached. We come to the statement, hide it in their hearts. Now, they're not suggesting, the Westminster Divines are not suggesting that we memorize the sermon. That's not the point. The point is that we memorize and meditate and treasure up in our hearts the very word of God itself. In Proverbs chapter 2, we have that admonition that's given there by Solomon. In Proverbs 2, he's talking to his son. He says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you," we are to treasure the preached word. We are to see it as great gold, as very profitable, more profitable than all the money in the world, more profitable than any material thing. We are to see it as a grand gift of a holy God who has blessed his people with the preached word each Lord's Day. He established it this way. It is his doing, and we should see it as a great treasure because it comes from the hand of a loving Father. We should see it as a treasure. But as we see it that way, then therefore we then exercise the very words of the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 11. "I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." Now, this verse has been used by many people to make the argument for scripture memory. And while I certainly support and would encourage people to memorize scripture, I'm not convinced that that's the actual point here. I think the actual point here is that to take what you hear, the Word of God as it's preached, especially as we are considering that subject, and to allow it to marinate within the heart of, in your own soul and in your own heart, that it might bring forth fruit, that you're thinking on it often, even as you meditate on it. Perhaps you might even be zealous and you might want to take a few cross references or a portion of the text that was preached and even memorize it. You write it down on an index card, carry it around with you all day long. Seek to memorize that which you hear proclaimed on the Lord's Day. Whatever the method you employ, the issue is to see it as a great treasure, that you might store it for as a resource, that you might not sin against your God in heaven. This is the whole thrust of what I think is going on in this question, in this portion of the answer, that as we hear the word of God, we see it as a great treasure. And as we see it as a great treasure, we're storing up that treasure for a rainy day, as it were, that we might not sin against God, that we might draw to remembrance in times of need the things that your pastor has offered to you in the proclamation of the word. But not only should we hide it in our hearts, we should also bring forth fruit of it in our very lives. This is the end goal, of course, to preaching. Other than the glory of God, the end goal of preaching is not that you become more intelligent. Not that that's a bad thing, and that's certainly going to happen. You're going to gain knowledge. But at the end of the day, that knowledge needs to move beyond just the mental capacity and understanding. It needs to move into practice. That's why all good preaching, as it presents Christ and preaches Christ, must be applied into the lives of the people that the Lord has entrusted to the pastor. All good preaching applies the scriptures specifically, even pointedly as needed, into the hearts and minds of the hearer. And in Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, we read, "As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience." They bear fruit with patience. As you hear faithful preaching week after week, month after month, year after year, it should be bringing fruit into your lives. It could be that the pastor is not very good at what he does. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't apply it very well or thoughtfully. I don't know. But it could be, frankly, if you don't see fruit in your life, it could be much to the point that you're not doing any of the things that are mentioned here in this question and answer. You're not preparing with diligence to come and hear the word of God preached. You don't receive it. There's no receptive attitude about what you're about to hear. You're not meditating on scripture. The sermon comes, it goes, and if your pastor were to ask you on Tuesday what was the sermon about, you wouldn't have a clue. You're not conferring of it. There's no discussion going on. You're not hiding it in your hearts and seeing its great weight and measure. And then you complain that there's no fruit. Well, that's the reason there's no fruit. You see, it comes right at the end of the question. It comes at its appropriate place. We need to seek to bring forth fruit of it in our lives. And James even mentions this very subject as well in James 1 and verse 25, where he says, "But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." Earlier he says, "But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he looks like." Now, how many of us this morning looked in the mirror and were startled by the reflection of the mirror? We know what we look like. We understand the point that James is making here. As you hear the word of God preached, it's not enough just to hear it, but to do that which is said. I've said this before with others, and I'll probably say it again many more times in my life, but if you want to thank your pastor, now listen, this is, I think, important. Many times I'll hear very kind people say to me after a sermon, "Thank you for that sermon. It was a good sermon. Thank you for, it was a beautiful service." I've heard all those things, and I'm thankful for them. Don't get me wrong. But if you really want to thank your pastor who loves you and is doing the labors that the Lord has called him to, if you really want to thank him, do what you hear in the sermon. Seek to bring forth fruit of it in your life. That will bless your pastor beyond measure. Because that's his goal for you. That's what he is doing it for. He's doing it for the glory of God and as commissioned by his Savior. But he's doing it for your good, your benefit. And so seek to bring forth fruits. Seek to take the word as it's preached and as it's applied faithfully. And seek to make the necessary changes if that's what needs to be made. Seek to draw encouragement from the sermon if you are struggling with certain things. Whatever it may be, seek to bring forth fruits. Now, fruit doesn't show up quickly often. If I were to go out in my backyard and plant an apple tree, knowing me, it would die on the spot because I'm terrible at this. But if I were to do that, the tree's not going to just show up poof overnight. And even if it did show up poof overnight, the fruit's not going to show up overnight. It takes time. It takes time in its season to grow and to mature. And that's precisely what we should be expecting in our lives. None of us are growing as fast as we would like. I certainly don't think I am. I certainly would like to be much further down the road than I currently am. But we seek to bring forth fruit in the means that we've been given, but remembering that that's the Spirit's work in our life ultimately. And in His good time and pleasure, that fruit will begin to manifest itself. It'll show up on the tree and it'll be good fruit, well-pleasing to the Lord. Well, I trust this mini-series, this time, has been helpful. I hope it's been practical as we think through a very, very, very critical subject in the life of the church. I hope you have a better understanding now of the centrality of preaching within the life of the Christian. If you have any questions for me, you can certainly leave me a note. That information is there before you on the screen. So until the Wednesday edition, when I do functionally summarize everything that's been said over the last few weeks, I trust the Lord will bless you and keep you, make His face to shine upon you, and be gracious to you. God bless.